coming week, Yemei Hashem, is the Yortzeit of Aaron Chernobler. We spoke a lot about the Chernobler dynasty, beginning with the Moronaim. And his son, the Maggid from Chernobyl. And we mentioned that the Maggid from Chernobyl had eight Heiliger sons. And he said that seven of his sons correspond to the seven branches of the Menorah. But his eighth son, which is his oldest, Rabbi Aaron, is the Madlik. He's the one who lights all the seven candles. With the passing of his father, the Maggid from Chernobyl, so he became the Rebbe in Chernobyl. And he was, at that time, and that's Kifor, the Tzadik Adar. I'll speak a little bit about him, and Hashem. Tzadikim said that each one of the sons of the Maggid took a koyach from their father, from Matul, from Chernobyl, Yerusha. A certain koyach, a certain school, if you will. And the eyes, the heilig vision, the koyach ha-re'iyah of the Rav Matul, the Chernobyl, was given over to Rabbi Aaron. We mentioned last week when we spoke about Rabbi Sachedar from Belz that he married into the Mishpachas Chernobyl. He married a granddaughter of Arla from Chernobyl. And a lot of stories which we have about Rabbi Aaron, we have from the Belzerav, Rabbi Sachedar. And he said about his Zayda, for marriage, he said, by the Zayda we saw two things. He said, one thing we saw, he wasn't Mesiach Das from the Ebeshter even for a moment. And the second thing is that he saw, when a person came to him, he saw everything about the person, Mitchilas HaVeatzef. He had such eyes that he was able to see what normal people couldn't see. He prided himself. You have to understand what it means to pride yourself on his Yerushalayim. His Yerushalayim. The Beis Aaron from Karlin was a very big admirer of Aaron Chernobler. And he once came during the week and Rabbi Arla begged him to stay for Shabbos. Beis Aaron says he can't, he has to go. So on Thursday he came and he was Makabal Lebracha to go and Rabbi Arla sent him on his way. So on the road, not too far away from town, the wagon broke down and tried everything which he could. It was already Friday of Shabbos. He had to come back to Chernobyl for Shabbos. So when he came back and he saw Aaron Chernobler, he said, "Nope, Ritzon Yirei Aviasa." What could you do? So Arla looked at him and says, "But you didn't know that I was a Yerushalayim. So why did you leave in the first place? Ritzon Yirei Aviasa. So why'd you go?" So what does it mean, Yireyev? What do you mean, Yireyev? So, where's that story? A lot of stories, it's hard to keep track of everything. Yeah. So the Belzer Rav said about him. He said about him, he says, the Yerushalayim of my Zayda, Rabbi Arla from Chernobyl, he says that the year that he stands at all times is that if a person has a gun and he points it to his head and he says he's ready to shoot, that's the Yerushalayim which he has the Yerushalayim at all times. That's his Yerushalayim. Once in the middle of a tish, it was by Shalashah this time. Rav had arrived and the Masehlik time the whole week. So he was sitting at the tish and all of a sudden he heard a baby which was crying in the other room. And he stopped the tish and came running into the other room and he was like cooing it and telling it to calm down, holding the baby. And then he came back to the tish as if, nothing was going on. So he saw everybody was sitting there, all the chassidim, like with their eyes wide open, like not knowing what was going on. So he said, "Set in pasach v'chol banayich l'mudi Hashem," that we're all children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. His actions below have the power to be ma'ayir dan haba klap ishmaya. And if the Rebbe goes and he hears a child who's crying, himself to go take care of the child. So what that's ma'ayir klap ishmaya is that the Eibushter himself will come and to be mesiachis to us and to be merachin us. So everything which he did, it was in order to be ma'ayir klap ishmaya, that rachmanis, especially at the Shas Bavad arriving. So to be metapel with Hashem's children in the way that he was metapel. So when you hear a Yiddish cry, the Eibushter should come himself and should take care of it.
Amen.
The Tzanzarov, Gadol Hador, of course, he referred to Rav from Chernobyl as the Rashk Bahag. He's the head of all the Bnei Agoyla. The Bisharan once, when he once saw that Rav Chernobyl, when he would see him after not seeing him for some time, he would make a bracha Shechianu on him, and Arlo would answer Amen to his brachas. And you know that in Kalim they daven with, you know, B'koli Kolis, B'Rash Godol Anmoy. But in Chernobyl, everything is Menachas. So the Karlin Chassidim thought, you know, when they would get together with the Chernobylers, that, you know, they didn't know how to daven so good. So the Beis Aharon says that the stillness, the quietness of the Chernobyler is much louder than your rash. It's much bigger of a rash in Shemayim than your screamings. There was once one of his Einik Lechu, who turned out to be a very great Rebbe. Him and the Rishoner, they married into the Mishpachas. So they shared a mutual grandson, Rabbi Yisrael, from Trokotov, who ended up being, you know, the Malamakum of a great line, of a great dynasty of Trokotov. So when he was once 3 years old in the house of Rav Aharon, so one of the Bnei Mishpacha picked up Rabbi Yisrael, like when he was 3 years old, and it was a very low ceiling, so he banged his head on the ceiling. So Rav Aharon turned to the child at the time, and he says, "You know what you learned from here?" He says, "If you go too high, you bang your head. If you go too high, you bang your head. Make sure you always stay humble. Bang your head." Somebody once came to him for a bracha, and he wanted, it's like smicha, but smicha, not stam smicha, like he was going to be a Rebbe. Something happened, he had an opportunity to be a Rebbe, so he came to get like smicha from Rav Aharon. He was the Zakan, the Zakan of all, he lived a very long life. He should be the Zakan of all the Admirim, that he should get a bracha for Admirers. So he told him, he says, "You want smicha for Admirers?" He says, "This is how you become a Rebbe. First, you have to make yourself garnished. Make yourself nothing. And after you make yourself garnished, you have to make yourself garnished. Then mamish nothing. And then after that, gar garnished. And shpeta gar garnished. And then shpeta, you'll be a Rebbe." That's what he said. "Then you could be a Rebbe." This is mamish, this is exactly it. You know, mamish, he hit it on the head. In Chassidus, the nekud of a Rebbe is mamish the sinner. You know, from Chernobyl comes many great dynasties today. You know, one of the, well, we haven't spoken about him yet, but one of the great children of the Chernobyl Magid was also Rabbi Yitzchak from Square. Square comes from Chernobyl also. Many great chassidus come from the Magid from Chernobyl and from the Moriah. And Rachmas Chikva today is also from there, and many others. So I've had this chus to meet the current, the Rachmas Chikva Rebbe in America. He needs a big refuah, Mir Tzashan. And because I asked my Rebbe, who are the tzaddikim to go to, you know? So he said, he's one of the ones, he said, he's go to the Rachmas Chikva Rebbe in America. The one in Eretz Yisrael too, he said. But the one in Rachmas, he says, a very big tzaddik. So I went to him, and so I said to him, as my Rebbe once said, he's very, very humble. His mamish, he's anivus, his mamish ain't l'shai, he's anivus. So today he's one of the biggest Rebbes. So I went to him, and I said to him, we have some chutzpah sometimes, I said, Rebbe, how can I become like a tzaddik and an anav like you? That's what I said. You are such a big anav, such a big tzaddik. He mamish laughed. He was laughing so hard. It was mamish a genuine laugh. As if, but he was mamish a emistik. He thought it was hysterical that I would say such a thing. But that's, you know, that's the any of us. Mamish, he thought, like, you know, Rabbi said that when he would give a compliment to his Rebbe, to the Rav, to the Minchas Yehuda, if you would give him a compliment, it went like right through him, as if he didn't say anything. I mean, it had no impact on him at all. It was as if, like, you said it went through his ears, and it as if he didn't hear it at all. It was not in his spiral, like, not in his heart, nothing. Not much, nothing. A Moyle once came to Ter Baron, and he said that he wanted to have smicha, to be a Moyle. So he said, I can't give you smicha right away. You have to stay for a few days. So he stayed for a few days, and he wanted to humble him a little bit. So he said, come and help me, like, throw some fire into some wood into the fire. So he's throwing fire. And as it was going on, he says, you wanted to be a mile? He's first, moral umaltim is orlas zavavchem. Then you could be a mile. He had such chalashas from that. When the words came out of his mouth, umaltim is orlas zavavchem. First you have to do a mila to your heart. He had such chalashas. And when he saw that he was mamash broken from those words, he said, I can give you smicha, so you should be a mile. Stop, get up there and start chopping away at people. A person has to know that when he's doing a bris milah to somebody, he's being machnas a kedusha. Just like the tzaddik has to be a tzaddik, so the moil also has to be a tzaddik. And together, they have a tremendous impact on the child. So not just stop and give smicha to somebody who knows the malacha. Go ahead. It's important. So he and the visioner, tzaddik adar, so they were close yedidim, and they married into each other, as we said before. So once some chassidim came to Rav Aaron, and they were going to go back to Rishon. So he said, I want you to send my regards to the Rishoner. So before they left, he said to them, he says, you know, I have more Yerushalayim than the Rishoner, than your Rabbi. They were all taken aback by that. How could you say such a thing? The chassidim of a Rabbi. So he says, I'll prove it to you. He says, because we were once together, and we had to part ways, and we gave each other a bracha that we should each be Yerushalayim. And you see, my bracha was Niskayim, and his bracha wasn't. it's gluya that I'm a bigger Yerushalayim than your Rebbe. That I'm a bigger Baal Moifis, they say. I'm bigger Baal Moifis than your Rebbe. It was quite often that simple people, Yidden, who were Baal Malacha, that they would come into Varen, and they would get a bracha. But as soon as they would get a bracha, they would forget that they had wagons outside, that they had business to take care of, and they would stay in Chernobyl, and they would never leave. It was like a pachat. So there was one guy who was a Baal Schayra, a businessman. He before he went in, he said, I can go in and nothing's going to happen to me. And he was like, he was very haughty about it. And so he came in to the Rebbe, and he was, you know, holding his own. So the Rebbe just looked at him, and he just said to him, he says in Yiddish, he says, Baigzach, Baigzach. I mean, the thing should bend, and it's like a very funny thing for him to say. He didn't know what he was talking about. He kept saying that over and over again. So he went back to his hotel room. You know, I thought he got out of it, like, oh, everything was good. All of a sudden, he starts to have this Yerui Tshuva like crazy in the hotel room, and he realized that his heart is bending. That's what the Rebbe meant. The thing should bend, and then he came running back to the Rebbe. He threw everything away, and he stayed in Chernobyl, and the rest is history, basically. He once saw Rabbi Sacher Dov, the Belzerov, his grandson. He saw that he was once learning. It's a huge masbid, the Belzerov. So he came in one morning and he said, oh, I'm so much makana you that you're able to learn. So the Belzerov was like surprised. He said, what do you mean? He says, because I wake up every morning and I say Maida Ani Lefanacha. As soon as I say Maida Ani, I think, who's this Ani? Who's this Ani? And then I say Lefanacha, and I start to think, who's the Lefanacha? It's the Pasha can't learn after that, because it befalls me such Yerushalayim, I can't even become that. It takes me hours and hours till I can learn anything. It's the Yerushalayim that he has, just to say the words, Ma'adani Lefanacha. And the Belzerov said that when he would say Birchas HaTayra, when the Rabbi Aaron was saying Birchas, it was Mamash Shechina Shri Agabav. You could mamash see the Shechina was palpable by Rabbi Aaron when he would say Birchas HaTayra in the morning. When he finally got to say Birchas HaTayra, the Shechina was Shri Agabav. He once came to a town for Shabbos, and they were mechabin him to daven musaf for the Omer. But the Gabbai said that we have instructions from the Marada Asra that since it's an Ashkenaz shul, so you're not allowed to say keser, you have to say nakdishah. So Baran said, he says, Zoyzak the Marada Asra, the Marada Shmaya says we say keser. And the Marada Shmaya outdoes the Marada Asra. And he went and he said keser. Probably with a Muslim like that, he was invited back. Yeah. There was a chassid, Rav Moshe Zelek HaKohen, and he told over this story when he was a young child. His father was a chassid of Aaron, and every year for Rosh Hashanah, like a chassid goes to his rebbe. And he would go every year, and the child would ask to come, and the father would say, no, you can't come. And this went on for years. And then the mother one year said, either the child goes with you or you don't go. That's what. So he said, I'll tell you the reason why I don't want to take him is because all the chassidim come to Baran. Everybody wants to be our Baran for Rosh Hashanah. And they have to, the shul can't hold it, so they have to like build, you know, bleachers and a second story. And then they have to open up the back and connect it to another shul, which is in the back of that, to make one big oilam. He says the dachkus, the amount of people, the pressure, is so intense that it's a sakana for the child. I can't take it. The child says, I want to go anyways. He says, do you want to go anyways? He says, do you know that if you get stuck in that matzav, he says, even if you cry, meaning the level of the noise and the pressure is so intense that if you may cry, nobody, I may not be able to hear you, you may get lost, and your life will be a sakana. The child says, I want to go anyways. So the father took the child. Today I know how that would go, but he took the child anyways. The kachaba, mamash kachaba. As soon as the Aaron was about to walk in to the room, everybody made a row, and as soon as they started to make one, everybody was trying to come close. Everybody was caving in on each other, and the child was losing air very quickly, and he started to scream. And he punched and had nothing left. All of a sudden, there was a chassid who saw him, and he plucked him out, and he put him on the bima. And he says that he put him on the beam and he was so close to Rav Aaron. Very close to Rav Aaron. And he said that Rav Aaron, when he would say Torah, it was still. You couldn't even hear him say Torah. The Tzaddikim said that when he would say Torah, you were only able to hear the first thing which he said and the last thing which he said. So I could find it. Yeah. This is what Rabbi Sachar Dov Belzer said, that you couldn't hear anything. He would start off like this. The Zayd of the Morinayim Zakt, that was it. He said, my Zayd of the Morinayim said. And after that, he would talk like this. He was in Dvekis and he would. You couldn't hear anything. And at the end, he would hear him, he would say like this. He would get a little louder. He would say, Mendaf miyachid zayn machshaba dibur maisi built it lashan labada. Only to Hashem. That's how we finished every single share. You couldn't hear anything in the mitzvah. So. Yet everybody came and everybody was in a dvekis just to hear him say those words, just to watch him, you know. So he said that he was so close to Rav Aaron at this time in Rosh Hashanah that he heard him say this word. He says, Ola Elokim b'tshuah Hashem b'kol shofar. Ola Elokim, when can we send the midah of Elokim, the midah then up? B'tshuah, which means when you have a broken heart. Havaya, the Shem Havaya, when does the Shem Havaya, the midah of Rachamim go away? B'kol shofar. When a person has a hearty heart, that's how he types Kol Shofar. And then he chaz it in again, and he got it louder. Each time he said it, it got louder. And he said the place was crying. He says that from the bleachers, from the second floor, they were crying so much. He said it was like it was raining in the place. On the floor, it was puddles everywhere. But just to hear the tzaddik say those words created such a stir, such a sirus. He said you would look up, you wouldn't want to know if it was raining or people were crying. I couldn't tell. So he said. He got a message that one of his avreichim, even somebody who didn't come so often to him, was in Sakanas Nefashas, and they were asking Rav Aaron to be Ma'ir Rachamim. And Aaron sent back a letter saying it's too late, there's nothing I could do. So this Avreich was sitting on his deathbed, so to speak. And all of a sudden he started to hear like these coily calls, very unusual sounds were coming from him. And before that he was like in a coma. And he woke up and he said that the Satan just came to me. And the Satan was holding in one hand a golden apple, which had beautiful diamonds and gems on it. And on the other hand, he was holding an Avodah Zarah. And he said, if you bow down to this Avodah Zarah, I'll heal you with the golden apple. And he says, I was just about to bow down, because I wanted to live. And then all of a sudden, Rabbi Arula came. The rabbi came. And he started to scream at the Satan, and he says, don't you dare lay a finger on my Avreich. He says, any yid who crossed over onto my Dal and Amos, you have no rishos to touch him. Especially at a time like this when he's about to leave the world. And he was megarish the Satan away. And after he said that, he passed away. Passed away. Those were his last words. So the mother came running to Rabbi Aaron, and she starts to tell him the story. Of course, he knows that he was there. He knows exactly. He says, "What are you surprised? You think I would let any the hands of the Satan touch any of my people? Touch any of my people? This wasn't just a special exception. This is any of my people. He has his eyes on all of his chassidim. B'chol makom she'em. Nobody's allowed to lay a hand on my chassidim. It's a very big cloud, just when it comes to like a rebbe and a chassid and the whole dynamic of the whole thing. It's like having a rebbe is not just good in this world; it's good in the next world more than it is in this world. They take achrayas for the chassidim. In fact, he once said that if you go to a rebbe, Baron once said, if you go to a rebbe and you go and you have big expectations and you're there for a Shabbos and there's the Zmiras and there's the Tyras and there's everything, the Shechin, everything, and you feel nothing. He says, don't be disappointed. The only reason why you felt nothing was because it's being safe for you in the next world. So don't be disappointed. It's being safe for you in the next world. So many nice stories to say. It's already 20 minutes in. He said that he had a bracha from the Marinayim that he would be zeichet to see Mashiach. He would be mekabel for the Mashiach. And he took that bracha very seriously, as you can imagine. He always had his staff, his cane, by his bed, because at any moment he was mitzapa the regal Mashiach, because of the bracha of the Marinai. At one point, there were very big bad gzeiras from the Russians against the Yidden, and he couldn't be soivel it anymore. And he sent a shliach to the tzion of the Marinai, and he says, I'm mevater on the promise. Take away the tzaras, take away the tzaras from the Yidden, and I'm mevater on the haftacha. Short time after that, he passed away. But the tzaddikim said that the bracha was neskayim because his nekudas Mashiach was nishlam. He may not have seen the Mashiach of the belt, but he worked himself out so much that the nekudas of Mashiach, which every yid has, by him it was worked out, and he was mekabel the nekudas Mashiach. In fact, even the Rav mentioned this morning that the ikar inyan of Mashiach, it says in the Navi Yeshaya, is veheiricha biyiras Hashem, that he was able to smell out, meaning he could see, he can hear. But more than that, there's a certain chush of Yiras Shamayim that a tzaddik has, that with the chush hayiri, he's able to know exactly what something is. And we said before that by him, Yiras Shamayim was the ikazach. So he says he was once traveling on a wagon. Rabbi Arla Belzer told over the story. He said he heard it from his father, Yisachadayv. He says that he was once traveling on a wagon. And, you know, when tzaddikim traveled, and he was a magid, he was makabal that inyan from the Maranam, and his father, he would go from city to city. And he says, when the tzaddik would go to city, so they would, you know, give gifts to the tzaddik. And when the tzaddik would go home, he would either, you know, put it in the shul or give it away, whatever the tzaddik does with his cheshbonis, with inyanim. So he says, once on the road, after going from city to city, he stopped the wagon. He told the wagoner to stop and take everything off the wagon. He says, Rebbe, we're not home yet. He says, no, everything off the wagon. He says, everything goes off the wagon. And he says, okay, now I feel much better. And we can continue on. Says, what happened, Rebbe? He said, I was margish in the wagon that something was off. Something was off. And he said, I thought it was me. So I was doing tshuva. I was working very hard. And I saw that it wasn't going away. So then I realized it must have been something from the wagon. So then the wagon driver says, oh, Taka, there was something which was supposed to have been bought by the church. And then the meicher changed his mind. And then he sold it to this guy. And that's how it's in the wagon. From the Havamina to sell it to the church, he was able to be margish that there was something off and he didn't want it on the wagon. That was the chush areich which he had. That's what that the Rabbi Arla was bringing out. He had such a chush that he was able to sense that there was a havamin in it that he didn't want to have anything to do with it. Take it off the wagon. But at first he thought it was himself, meaning that's the real lesson. Before he had a menekes, he had a wet nurse. And the wet nurse, before she passed away, she came to Rav Aaron, and she said, "You should know that it was very difficult for me to nurse you." He says, because my father, your father, Mari Naim, and he was the oldest, Rav Aaron, he says that he gave me instructions that when I were to nurse you, I'm not allowed to bring you into my bed. I mean, he didn't want the child as a baby being in the same bed as this woman. He says, you're not allowed to nurse him in the bed. So when I would nurse you, I'd have to, like, you know, inconvenience him. I couldn't, like, sleep with you. I'd have to, you know, come to take you out, and then I had to nurse you. And it was very difficult. Not only that, your father said that before you nursed, I had to wash your hands negelvasser before I nursed you each time. The child had to be negelvasser first. And he says, also other things of instructions your father gave me, which made it very difficult to nurse, the next Gadol Adar. So he says, as a payment, I ask you that when I pass away, you should say Kaddish for me for 11 months. And she left him a certain amount of money. It's like for Tikkun, Mashke for Tikkun. And he agreed. So he started to say Kaddish. And after the first day of saying Kaddish, she came to him in a dream. And she said, "You don't need to say Kaddish for me anymore." She says, "Both one day of Kaddish, I'm already where I need to be." That's what she said. She says, "You took me to a place in the Gan Eden that I'm already embarrassed to be there." That's what she said. "I'm already embarrassed to be there." One last story. So, he once came to town and there were misnagdim there. And on Friday night davening, so he went up to the Amud in the Shul and he just took the Amud and he started to be the Shliach Tzibur. And it was an Ashkenazic Shul. And he started with Hoidi. Minchan Erev Shabbos, Hoidi. And he did Kabbalah Shabbos, Bekol Rash Gadol. This time he did it, you know, with big Koili Koilis. And one of the Mastangim was very upset about this. How could you just be knowing Hefkeiris with the Amud? So afterwards, the Rav saw that there was maybe something to this person, and he told some of his guys, you know, go give him a bechina and see if he's a Talmid Chacham. If he's a Talmid Chacham, so then it'll be okay. But if not, we'll come up with some type of an einish. So he sent two of his avechim to ask Rabbi Aaron a kasha on Shver Taisus, very difficult Taisus. Agav, the tzaddikim said about him, that the Beis Aaron said about him, that they never saw him learning. Because, like, you can imagine, his vacus and everything. So they asked the Beis Aaron, you know, we never see him learning. So he says, he doesn't need to learn. He is Torah. So he said, he's a cheftis of Torah. Torah doesn't need to learn Torah. So he asked, they said, ask him a pshat in a difficult taisus. So he asked him a pshat difficult taisus. So he said like this. He says, listen, it's after Friday night. Took a lot of kaychas to daven. Just to get here was also exhausting. I'm tired. He says, in the morning, I'll tell you Pshat and Taisus. Okay. So the next morning, they come, and they say, no, where's the Pshat and Taisus? So he told them Pshat and Taisus. And they never had such a sweet Pshat and Taisus like that. And they went to the Rav, and they told him Pshat and the Taisus, and he was going out of his kelim. They were going out of the kelim. They came to the Rav. And they were so excited to tell the Rav the Pshat. As soon as they were about to say, they couldn't. They forgot the Pshat and the Taisus. So when they came back to Rav Aaron, the Rav came to Rav Aaron and he was chalishing to know the Pshat and the Taisus. So Rav Aaron says, "I can't learn. I don't know how to learn." He says, "You know, I come here and I'm just a magid. I give drushes, but I don't know. I don't know how to learn. And I don't remember the Pshat and Taisus anymore." So how did I know the Pshat and Taisus? Because I said to myself, listen, if I don't know the Pshat and Taisus, it's going to be Chil Hashem. Because I'm traveling all around and people think that I'm a Talmid Chacham. So at least if you ask me for the Pshat and Taisus, so I have to come up with the Pshat. So what did I do? So in the middle of the night in Echolayim, I asked the Bali Taisis to tell me Pshat and Taisis. So they told me the Pshat and the Taisis. But already now, I don't know anymore the Pshat and the Taisis. I didn't need it only to impress you. If that was all I really needed. But if you want to know Pshat, go learn yourself. So that was it. Yeah. Okay, there's more other beautiful stories about Byron, but you already see the typical person Byron was.